Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Tommy Howe, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International on 107.7 The End, an environmental affairs program for the listeners of 107.7 The End and all of Western Washington. From the Columbia River to the San Juan Islands, and from the interior of the Olympic Peninsula to the soaring peaks of the Cascades, which, to me, remains the climax of any outdoor experience in Washington State. This is paradise. And with that intro, we plunge forward into Tree Huggers International's first on-location report from a town many Washingtonians have sadly never heard of, and yet is in the middle of everything we love about the Evergreen State. Stehekin is a small community at the northwest end of Lake Chelan in central Washington, at the southern tip of what is now referred to as the North Cascades National Park Complex. And while the resort towns of Chelan and Manson on the southeast end of Lake Chelan are best known for their prodigious apple orchards and hot, dry weather in the summertime and vineyards, Stehekin enjoys a more moderate climate as a bona fide mountain community, tucked away at the head of a valley which has resisted widespread development and civilization's encroachment for well over a century. You can boat, fly, or hike to Stehekin, but you can't drive. No roads lead to this most remote of Washington communities. There are cars and roads in Stehekin, but every car comes in by barge, along with the town's supplies, building materials, everything by water. And if you want to visit, Chelan Airlines offers breathtakingly scenic floatplane flights across the lake, but the most popular way of arriving at Stehekin and crossing Lake Chelan is by the Lady of the Lake. There are actually two Ladies of the Lake, the Lady of the Lake 2, and the quicker Lady Express, which gets you across the lake in about 2.5 hours to Stehekin. The journey rivals almost any boat journey, even Milford Sound in New Zealand, as the landscape changes from high desert country near Chelan and Manson, where the hillsides are blanketed with green vineyards and orchards in between sparse dots of lonesome pines, past Wapato Point, a mammoth collection of terminal moraines left by several glacial ice flows, now covered by luxury homes, to the rugged interior of the Cascade Range, where peaks along the shoreline reach as high as 6,000 and 7,000 feet. Carved out by glacial ice over the millennia, Lake Chelan resembles a Norwegian or New Zealand fjord and is, in fact, the third deepest lake in the United States, after Oregon's Crater Lake and Lake Tahoe on the California-Nevada state line. But what makes Lake Chelan's depth so staggering is the fact that Lake Chelan reaches a depth of 1,486 feet with barely a mile between the north and south shores. Even high in the mountains, this lake is so deep that at the lake's deepest point, at an area called Lucerne Basin, the floor of the lake is still 386 feet below sea level, as in the sea level of the ocean. If you could somehow float above the lake at the level of the highest mountain peaks in the area and look down into the lake with the water removed, you'd be looking into the deepest gorge in North America. Certainly something to think about while you're buoyantly floating along the surface and enjoying the sunshine and the scenery. It's a long way down to the bottom, but the waters are pretty. And at 63 to 65 degrees on even a hot day in the summer, pretty cold. The mood along the boat ride is jovial. Stehekin locals gather together to laugh and swap stories and gossip and talk about their adventures downlake, while tourists click photos or nap away the time until arriving at Stehekin Landing. Several of the locals I met along the ride over were either employees of the National Park Service or spouses of Park Service employees, one of the biggest employers in Stehekin. I got varying numbers on the amount of full-time residents. Some said 70, some said 80, but it was clear just from the boat ride over, this is a very, very tight-knit community. Upon arriving in Stehekin, the pace becomes deliberate, friendly, and for a city dweller like myself, abruptly relaxing. People wave and say hello here. They smile. The Courtney family has been in this part of Washington State ever since the homesteading days of the late 1880s, and it's a common name in the Stehekin Valley. Cliff Courtney is the proprietor of the Stehekin Valley Ranch, a guide service to the area's amazing high country in North Cascades National Park and Lake Chelan National Recreation Area, as well as offering rafting, fishing, and kayaking expeditions and accommodations. Cliff and his brothers grew up in a log cabin just across the meadow from where Cliff and his family live and entertain their guests today. And Cliff has very successfully been able to carry on the high country packing and guiding traditions of his father. With his lifelong background in the Stehekin Valley and success of his ranch, Cliff was approached by the National Park Service about taking over what was called the North Cascade Stehekin Lodge at Stehekin Landing, where the Lady of the Lake arrives. After doing some renovation and making additions, the lodge has been rechristened as the Stehekin Landing Resort and is open for business, as they say, under new management. I got a chance to talk with Cliff Courtney on the deck overlooking the landing at Stehekin and the lake, where he talked about his family's history in the area.
Well, great-granddad came up in about 1889 to Moore Point, which is 7 miles down the lake from where we're sitting right now in Stehekin. And he homesteaded, pretty typical homesteader. He also had a small mine and built the Moore Inn in the next couple of years and started out with tourism. In those days, folks would come for a month or sometimes even a season. They would stay in resorts for long term, where nowadays they may buy a summer home instead. Stays were longer back then. So tourism really has been the lifeblood of this area and our family since that time. Then Granddad homesteaded up here in the valley, married Mamie Moore, so that's the connection with the Moore family there at Moore Point. And he was a homesteader as well, pretty much the typical homesteader. Cows, chickens, working for the Forest Service in the summer, whatever it took to make a living. And then he had several children. They had several children. And Dad started the packing business right after World War II. So in 1947, he started the outfitting business. And after he passed away, we used the ranch facility. We built the ranch facility there into more of a base. We built cabins and cookhouse, and so we have a restaurant up there now with 14 cabins, and we do a lot of the activities out of that area, which is 9 miles up valley from us. And so the horseback riding, river rafting starts up there. And so that's pretty much in a nutshell. That was 1983, so this is the 60th year for actually the horsebacking business and the 25th year for the ranch facility.
And so your family's had connection with tourism in this valley for quite a long time, but you just only recently came into a contract with the Park Service for the Stehekin Lodge. Is that correct?
That is true. It was formerly North Cascade Stehekin Lodge, ran by a concessionaire for the past few years. They asked us if we were interested in adopting the facility for a couple years, and we said yes, if we could change it somewhat, renovate it, bring it back up to standard, and that we would be interested in doing that. Interestingly, where we're sitting here used to be called Stehekin Landing. It was ran by my aunt and uncle, Curt and Burl Courtney. So it used to be in the family before the Park Service came in 1968. When they came in, they bought out a lot of private businesses and private property. So formerly it was a Courtney business, and so I guess we're back into it for a couple years.
Come full circle just a bit.
Yeah.
So what were some of the renovations that that needed to be addressed, and have you guys had a chance to get to all the renovations you wanted to this year?
I don't think you ever get to everything you want to, but we've made a grand start. We've only had about 6 months to do this from when we started negotiating clear up until right now where we're opening, and we've put on the porch, and we've redone the outside, the whole appearance. We've done some painting. We've completely gone through the kitchen, the dining room, and a lot of room renovations. So yeah, we have helped the facility. We've added a lobby, a rec room, so now we have a place for like small meeting groups. And so we've added facilities as well as renovated what was here.
And then this is a family affair too, because when I came across you here in the restaurant, you were having lunch with your brother. Can you tell me about how your family fits into the business?
Well, the way it fits into the valley, I can kind of start there. There are five of us brothers that live up here with our families. So I think there's 23 or 24 Courtneys in the valley. And the five of us brothers do different things in the valley that we've kind of either created niches or fulfilled needs. And two of us brothers, Craig and Cliff, are involved with our families in the resort business. The other three are not so much directly involved. They have different businesses going, like the one you met earlier was Tom Courtney, who runs the barge service. Everything comes up here by barge, a 50-mile-long lake. And so it's kind of like living on an island, because no roads connect. Everything comes in by barge as far as freight.
So the entire town of Stehekin, it's in the Lake Chelan National Recreation Area. Can you tell me sort of Stehekin and the valley's relationship to the North Cascades National Park Complex?
Well, when they created the North Cascades National Park Complex, they put it into three different areas: the Lake Chelan National Recreation Area, where we're at, where the resort is at. And then the North Cascades National Park, which starts at High Bridge, 11 miles up valley here. And then the west side was part of the Ross Lake National Recreation Area. So the Stehekin Valley and the Stehekin community is within the National Recreation Area, which is administered by the Park Service.
Senator Jackson, Scoop Jackson, of course, he has a wilderness name for him here in Washington State, and he was quite instrumental in the passage of a lot of that wilderness and national park legislation. Does he have any kind of a connection to this valley?
You know, the community and the valley were certainly one of the topics of discussion when they were talking about turning the whole area into a national park. As a matter of fact, folks like Jackson and other people who were influential at the time, is the reason why it's not part of the park proper is because the community was recognized as beneficial for the tourism and such. And so certainly Stehekin was part of the equation when they were talking about the whole legislative package.
And what originally brought people to the valley here on this side of the lake before tourism?
Probably the typical westward expansion. You certainly had the trappers. You had the prospectors looking for the gold in the hills, but also homesteading. I mean, after other places were homesteaded, or for the type of person that wanted something a little out of the way, even in those days, the valley had about 9 major homesteads. So the real community didn't start, of course, until the homesteading, which was about the year of statehood, about 1889, when my great-granddad homesteaded Moore Point. That's about the time of the early homesteads in the valley here as well.
What are some of visitors' favorite activities here? When people come here, what are they looking forward to doing when they get off the boat?
You know, I think one of the things they're really looking forward to in a whole is unwinding. But when they do schedule an activity, certainly the day hiking is probably the most prevalent activity, the one they spend their most time doing. But there's certainly a lot of other options. Horseback riding lessons, river rafting. We raft the lower 10 miles of the Stehekin River, a really nice little family whitewater run. We have the kayaking tours on the lake. And it's hard to think of eating as an activity, but it's the bakery is probably one of the places that people really enjoy spending time at. It's also kind of the social hub of the valley. It's right up valley here, about a couple miles. And so if people... just a great combination. A lot of people come here because there are so many different things to do. It isn't just the natural setting, which as you can see, is splendid. But yeah, just having all the options, a couple different places to eat and the bakery and all the activities all in one spot, and in an area that's really kind of like a Alaska experience in the lower 48. So I think it's the whole combination that appeals to them.
Do you notice a change in your visitors from when they arrive and when they leave?
You really do. For those that will take the time to spend enough time here, it usually takes a couple days for people to get down to what we call Stehekin time, to really relax and forget that they own a cell phone, which luckily doesn't work here for them. And so yes, you do. If they stay long enough, you will really see a person change that is in a stressful situation at home.
What do you want people to take away from a visit here?
Well, I think, you know, we've really enjoyed hosting the area for years, and it is the appreciation that we get from the guests, not just for the facilities, but for the area. Whenever a political battle or something comes up to protect something or to alter the way things are going, we rely upon folks who love the valley as much as we do for, you know, to help us protect the area. So really, what we like to see is a visitor come here that enjoys the area as much as we do and sees more than just a front country experience. It gets out and touches the back country or the fishing or whatever else it is and really gets to know it a little better. My business has always been working with folks that stay one night or one week, not necessarily the day tripper that's just here for an hour or two. So I really enjoy working with people who get to see the backcountry, or at least more than just what you see here at the head of the lake.
Stehekin and the Skagit's language meant way through. Has there ever been a modern attempt to connect Stehekin and this end of the valley with the western side of the mountains?
You know, there were really two issues that were the drivers of changing the legislation or putting forth legislation that took it from the Forest Service and gave it to the Park Service, and that was the possibility of large-scale logging and the possibility of a highway connecting the valley to the outside. And so those two things were pretty much were the two driving forces, and that's what the legislation fixed, is we were assured there would never be a road built in, and that large-scale logging would simply not happen under the Park Service purview.
And it would be uneconomical here in some ways, because there's really only one way in and one way out, I guess by boat. So I guess that's another way that Stehekin in the 20th and 21st centuries has managed to stay as it was originally founded.
Well, you know, I think you could probably argue the side of economics, that a road being built in might be good for economics if that's all that was of value to you. But pretty much universally, the folks that live here do not want to see a road connect. And certainly that is the one thing that's kept Stehekin unique, is the lack of access. You can have all the regulation in the world, you can have all the enforcement in the world, but what protects Stehekin is its remote location.
What do the residents do here during the quote-unquote tourist off-season? And I know there's other things going on here other than just tourism, but how do you prepare to hunker down for the winter time here?
That's a little bit harder question to answer, because it varies with each family. There are certainly people up here that have year-round jobs with the Park Service or the postmaster, power plant operator, school teacher, so certainly full-time jobs. We end up doing a lot of maintenance in the off-season, certainly correspondence, hiring for the next season. But I must admit, I do like to read, so I certainly utilize two or three of the winter months, if possible, for reading and enjoying time with the family. So, you know, I do take time to smell the roses, and most of the time I get time to do that is in the middle of the winter. Stehekin is a unique place. Like I was saying, in the lower 48, there's really very few places like it, none that I know of. And it's the chance for people to really get away, to get out in the middle of wilderness. And it's a great jumping off place if you're a backpacker, but if not, you have the different facilities. And I think that's what we offer at the resort. Is a facility, we know, with all the regular rooms and bathrooms and but, you know, don't let that stop you. If that's not your cup of tea, you're welcome to come to Stehekin. We provide transportation to the campgrounds. And what I want people to come to is not just for the resort, but to enjoy the whole area and the benefits, you know, for everything the valley offers. And certainly take time to stay long enough to get to know, you know, some of the community and to really bond with the area and get to know it.
What are some of your favorite things to do here? I know you mentioned reading a few minutes ago, but what else do you enjoy doing here?
Well, obviously, I like the outdoors. I mean, I love spending time on the river, whether it's rafting or fly fishing. The high country is absolutely spectacular. You know, we sit here looking up out of a gorgeous valley, but compared to some of the places in the high country, this is, if I dare say it, rather drab. I mean, for folks that have the desire, we have some of the finest high country available anywhere. And I can say that with credibility. We get customers from all over that have traveled not only around the U.S., but Canada and Europe, and this area, the North Cascades, is second to none.
How do you recruit for positions here? Like, the gentleman who checked me in is from Texas. How do you come across people from all corners of the country and from the world?
Well, it's kind of an interesting angle, because you know, you're sitting here in a remote location with no telephones, but yet we have satellite connection through the internet. And so these days, most of our employees, probably the lion's share of our employees, the connection is made through internet sites like coolworks.com or something like that, where people have learned to go to look for summer jobs.
And do you have repeat employees? Do you have employees that have decided to make this their home after their time to work is contracted out?
We do. We've had certainly people that came in to work for the family, one way or the other, that have decided to live here and bought property here, and they may still work for us, or they may have moved on to something else. But certainly a lot of people that have lived here have started out as a seasonal employee.
So if this is my first time here, and I'm just getting off the boat, and I only have maybe 24 hours to spend here, doctor's orders or otherwise, what would you recommend I do?
Well, that's largely depends on what, you know, what your priorities are, whether you're just here to relax and unwind and, you know, go home rested or whether you want to take the time to do a horseback ride or a river raft or a hike or what have you. But for sure, rent a bicycle, go see the valley, visit Rainbow Falls, stop at the bakery. And then if at all possible, scope it out for the next time and do it right and stay a week.
Right.
Float plane, Chelan Airways, runs the charter flights back and forth. And that's another thing kind of unique to the area is the float plane, which is the de Havilland Beaver, the classic Alaska float plane, has flown here since World War II. Ernie Gibson started the float plane business, and it still runs today. So whether it's just if you have time constraints or whether you want to do it just for the nostalgia, flying up in the float plane is certainly a wonderful way to get here.
Can you tell me about the bakery here? I've heard lots of good things about the bakery.
It's called Stehekin Pastry Company. And must admit, a little bit of bias there also, ran by my sister-in-law, Roberta Courtney. And it's just become kind of an institution. We had a bakery here years ago called the Honey Bear Bakery. The folks moved out over to the Seattle area when their son was ready for high school, and we were left without a bakery for a time. And we've become accustomed to one. So she picked up the baton and started another bakery, and it's certainly something well worth stopping at. Bicycles never seem to be able to pass there. They always turn in when they're headed up the road.
And real quickly, tell me about Rainbow Falls, because I've heard a great deal about it.
Yeah, I hope you get a chance to see it. And it's really spectacular this time of year. It's a 312-foot fall with the spring runoff. Is really a spectacular falls. It's one of the many in the nation, but certainly one of the most spectacular.
Cliff Courtney, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks for coming to visit Stehekin.
Just up the hill from Stehekin Landing is the National Park Service's Golden West Visitor Center, where I found Ranger Carrie Olson, the Stehekin District Interpreter for North Cascades National Park and the Lake Chelan National Recreation Area. A North Dakota native, Carrie originally came to Washington State to work an advertising job in Seattle and wound up working full-time for the National Park Service. She lives in Stehekin.
I was raised in North Dakota, but I've lived in Seattle since 94, well, until I came here about 5 years ago.
How long have you been with the Park Service?
I started in 2002, here.
And they didn't transfer you anyplace else? This is the only place you've been?
That's correct. We're civilian federal employees, and so we don't get transferred unless we initiate and request it. We apply for each position just like any other job. Every job is an individual job posting, and if you want to move, then you look for an open job and apply for it. Huh. And you compete with everybody else who's applying for it. There are things like hardship transfers for families, or there are some arrangements that are made for like lateral transfers, but they're initiated by the employee. And there has to be an open position that they move into.
So you're from North Dakota. Theodore Roosevelt National Park is over there.
Fantastic park. It's very interesting. I actually grew up on the other side of the state, but obviously I grew up going there. It's wild bison, wild horses, prairie dogs, great petrified forests.
Yeah.
It's a good place.
Can you tell me some of the most popular trails people come and ask you about when they come to visit Stehekin?
Sure. One of our most popular is the Lakeshore Trail, which one end of it is here, the other end of it is 17 miles down lake from here. And it starts at Prince Creek, most people start at Prince Creek and then hike towards Stehekin. And it's right along the lake, so you have mountain views and lake views the entire way. But it's not too strenuous. It's pretty flat. It's a little bit of up and a little bit of down, but nothing too significant. We have a good family day hike. It's called the Rainbow Loop Trail. It's 4.4 miles, and you actually gain a bit of elevation. So you get up on top of the ridgeline, and you cross Rainbow Creek about a quarter mile above the falls. So you can't actually see the Rainbow Falls, but you go up above it and come back the other side. And then you have about a 2.5 mile road walk to get back to where you started. And then that does go past our Rainbow Falls, which is a 312-foot waterfall that comes down into the valley. That's one of our biggest tourist attractions, is the Rainbow Falls. And so we have tours that go up there every day.
What are some of your favorite trails around here?
Ooh, my favorite, up valley a little bit, you can take the shuttle bus up to a place called High Bridge. Mm-hmm. There's a terrific short day hike called Agnes Gorge Trail. And it's a 5 mile round trip trail. It goes out to a waterfall and a bend in a river called the Agnes River, which is a really beautiful and big raging river. There are several glaciers that feed it all year round. And I love that trail because it has several different plant communities that you go through. You have a little bit of ponderosa pine, and then you start getting into more hemlocks and spruces and lodgepoles at the end. Great plant diversity, and you see a lot of wildlife on it. But it's only 5 miles, so you can do it in an afternoon. We have a very interesting mix of biodiversity here. Part of it is because we are east slope of the Cascades. We're much drier than the west side, but we're much wetter than the east side. And part of that's because we do have such a watershed coming through. We have the Stehekin River, and we have so many glaciers around us that we definitely have more water around us. That increases the biodiversity, and we have a lot of species that the west side doesn't have, and we have a lot of species that the east side doesn't have. We're kind of somewhere in between.
Any Sitka spruce?
We do have Sitka spruce. It's usually at a higher elevation, so you're not going to find it down here at the valley bottom, but you need to go up a couple of miles into the backcountry and you can find Sitka.
Are they kind of in a damp area?
Not like Western Red Cedar. Western Red Cedar has to be near water. They are really water dependent, and so you can see these patches and corridors of them where the waters are. And I don't know Sitka to be that water dependent, especially if it's up in the alpine. It's going to get drier and drier and drier as you move up in elevation, and I know that they're usually found at higher elevations. Down here on the valley floor, we have a mix of both Douglas fir and ponderosa pine. And they're both kind of valley bottoms. The Douglas fir used to be in a much smaller percentage than, and we used to be primarily ponderosa pine. But the Douglas fir grow very fast and very big, much faster growers than the ponderosas. So they have been able to come in and colonize a little bit more in the last 100 years or so, since we've been doing fire suppression. We have much fewer hemlocks over here. Because it is a little bit drier. So, and again, they're a little bit higher elevation tree on this side, but I know that they get much more hemlock populations on the west side of the crest.
Tell me one other trail around here that you're a fan of. What's like the trail only the locals know about?
Well, if I told you that, then it wouldn't be the trail that only the locals know.
Duly noted. I understand.
One of the best trails that now requires an overnight is Cascade Pass that ends here in Stehekin, or begins, I guess, depending on which side you are. But the other end of it is up at the Cascade River Road. And it's just 3 miles to the pass from the Cascade River Road if that road is fully functioning. Right now, the road is washed out 4 miles back, but they'll be repairing that. And then 3 miles up to the pass, and then you're surrounded by glaciers, and there's a number of side trails you can take off of that, like up to Sahali Mountain or into Horseshoe Basin, which is one of the most beautiful places that I've ever seen. You're surrounded by 13 waterfalls. And then it's a nice gradual downhill valley walk along the river back to Stehekin. And that's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, is up there.
Well, we are running out of time on this week's edition of Tree Huggers International, but we will be back next Sunday morning at 7:30, right before Jim Keller's Resurrection Flashback Sunday. We will talk more with Ranger Carrie Olson in the next edition of Tree Huggers International, and you'll get to hear from some of the other people we met on our visit to Stehekin, one of Washington State's most remote and scenically gorgeous communities. Many thanks to Cliff Courtney and the staff at the Stehekin Landing Resort for their hospitality during our stay in their corner of Washington. For more information about the resort and the Stehekin Valley Ranch, go to stehekin.biz. That's right, .biz. stehekin.biz. Additional thanks to the staff of the Lady of the Lake in Chelan and Chelan Airlines. And like I said, I hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning at 7:30 for more of Tree Huggers International's visit to Stehekin. If you have questions or thoughts about the program, let me know at though@entercom.com. The opinions given and statements made during the course of Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the views of the entire staff of 107.7 The End. But as I've said before, they're probably pretty cool with everything anyway. But as the producer, I am solely responsible for this show's content. Again, you can email me, Tommy Howe, at though@entercom.com. We'll talk to you next Sunday morning at 7:30, but in the meantime, sit back and relax and get ready for Jim Keller and Resurrection Flashback Sunday, next on 107.7 The End. Have a great week. Vaya con Dios.